the same people that make Trojan condoms also make First Alert home pregnancy tests? Does that bother anybody else but me? I mean, if they don't trust their own product, why should I? And they really are cornering the market on premarital sex, too. Because that same company also makes Boone's Farm, Herpesil, and wire coat hangers. So... yeah, I'm going to hell for that joke. That's true.
All right, everybody, welcome back in.
Look out for the devil.
To your number one show. Your favorite show in the whole wide world. Oh, yeah, baby. The Corey and Joel radio show. Rocking you once again.
Loving you was easy.
This is White Ghost Shivers you're hearing in the background.
That's right, people. We've been loving you for too long to stop now.
A CD called Live on the Radio.
Another band from the outstanding Chicken Ranch Record label.
Our very proud sponsor, Chicken Ranch Records. So if you want this, you can go to chickenranchrecords.com and go get that CD.
It's kind of a little like the Squirrel Nut Zippers. Yeah, you know, it's a little bit.
Yes. Corey and Joel's Ragtime Band.
Yeah. Well, it's a little different from the stuff we usually play, but it's kind of
right.
cool.
But it's good, yeah. And we like it, so go get White Ghost Shivers at Chicken Ranch Records, and thanks to those guys.
We'll be hearing some more songs from them throughout the program.
But what else did we hear at the very beginning? We had a very big, funny...
That's correct, folks.
At the open.
We sure enough did.
And that was our guest.
In the studio for the first time, and I'm surprised he hasn't been here earlier.
Well, we've tried.
We have tried.
He's so busy, he couldn't get in.
Give it up for the very funny... the comedy impresario himself, Steve Sabo, everybody.
Steve Sabo, there he is.
Yeah.
Steve, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having... impresario, nice.
Well, yeah, because you...
You are the magistrate of a vast empire of comedy clubs and bars and rest stops and wherever else
exactly.
you have people
right.
play.
No sarcasm in any
if
of
If they're not having the Mechanical Bull or the cover band...
sure.
It's Inside Joke Productions comedy night.
After the All You Can Eat Fish Fry at Frischie's. It's
yes.
comedy with Steve Sable.
Exactly. Next, tomorrow night, bingo. Tonight, comedy. That's usually what it says on the sign when
no,
you show
at,
up.
No, at Bowling Green, it's Euchre on Mondays.
It's
comedy on Tuesdays.
Yeah, Steve. Yeah. Steve has some... well, comedy, just in general, is a lot of fly-by nights at establishments.
10-cent buffalo wings and comedy.
It's a lot of times venues will try stand-up for like a night, you know, because... the band got too expensive or...
yeah,
or
you know, it's funny, but what always bothers me about that kind of stuff is once you finally get a room established and it's doing pretty well, you know, it like, takes a little while, then they go, we'll do something else. You're like, it took... I just took 6 months getting you going,
right.
And now you're going to just throw it away. They don't
just
care.
For a little deep background here, Steve is not only a comedian in his own right who works about 50 weeks a year, I'm sure.
Oh, 52 for the last 9 years,
yeah, really? And
sucks, actually.
And take a week off, fucker.
I know, I need to.
And Steve is a full-time comic, and he also runs, he's a booker, and he runs a series, a syndicate of little clubs and
a
stuff.
A syndicate, that sounds dirty.
No, no, you've got a bunch of clubs that you, like, book.
Yeah,
But they're not, like, you usually don't have, like, you don't have a hard brick-and-mortar, the Steve Sable Comedy Castle.
No, I don't have my, it's varying different clubs across the nation, about 10 different states in any given time.
Right, but a lot of different. We call them one nighters.
Yep,
and and we've all done them.
Some are better than others.
Yeah.
Some are great. Some are.
And some have been
really
with you for like from the very beginning, and some of them sort of come and go. And God, I did one. I did that cold water room. That new one. For you. And it was fine, but again, the guys don't know comedy because it was just guys heckle and they're basically like, look, if you don't heckle. We're only going to bring you 2 drinks. You know, it's like, it's just they don't know how to control an audience. And so,
well, you got to train them. I mean, that's the thing. Yeah. You get these people that want to start comedy. They've never had comedy before.
Right.
And you try to tell them what to do. And the first thing they go is, I've been running this bar for 15 years. I know how to run. Like, yeah, but you haven't done comedy. It's a big difference. You know?
Have to keep your pimp hand strong with them.
I know.
Don't be afraid to rise up on a bitch.
Oh, I know.
Flash them a little backhand and keep those bitches in line.
Yeah,
exactly.
Because you're right. It is Hill Jackson, like Findlay, Ohio, running a bar,
And then I, God forbid, I like raise my voice because then there's a fist fight. then it's like, oh, come here, glasses boy.
Oh, I know.
You's from the big city. You think you're funny.
And that's the hard thing. Is I like it. If people tell me what's going on, I can come back to them and say, look, this is what the comic said, without being specific and just say, hey, you know,
I think at one point on the Cold Water show, I just said to the guy, I said, look, can you just do me a favor and just yell, get her done now, because I'm ready for it. And then the guy, because usually at one point when you're in a small town, guys will yell out, get her done.
That's really, the nightmare.
And I just said, just yell it now, sir. And he
it's
more than
unbelievable,
happy to
really. If you go a good like 45 minutes outside of a metropolitan area, it immediately turns into Hilljack country.
Isn't that ridiculous?
Guys are like, got stills of moonshine running outside their, you know, it's just unbelievable.
Nothing worse when somebody goes, you know, you're pretty good. My favorite comic, that's that Larry the Cable guy. Like, okay, don't talk to me now. Don't talk to me. You just lost all credibility with me whatsoever.
Yeah. And you know? You go to some of these places and you feel like you're landing on Mars, you know, you're like, the guy behind the counter is like
a New York Jewish intellectual communist crackpot.
They're very. Small town sensibilities are like about 15, 20 years behind
exactly
what you would know in a. And not if you don't. Yeah. If you live in a small town and you're listening to us, we appreciate that. But
and fashion's a good 10, 15 years behind the curve, too. I did a Sabo gig one time, and the chicks were wearing bum equipment t-shirts and ripped jeans
did
in the
back.
Did
they have those t-shirts you could touch and you'd it would change
Yeah, hyper-colors. Yeah. Yeah, this girl was like, I want you to sign my ass. And so she just pulled the handkerchief out of her ripped jeans so they could get right to the exposed part of the ass.
From the acid wash.
Oy vey.
Unbelievable.
But that's the problem, too, when you try to book these clubs, though, because certain comics you might really like, you think are really funny people, but they don't play in that small town, you know.
Right.
It doesn't work as well. Yeah.
And I know a lot of time your personal sensibility for comics you like does not jibe with
No, it doesn't. A lot, actually.
Deer Fart, Arkansas, wherever you're booking people.
That's actually the hardest thing in the world. When you got to tell somebody, go, look, I like what you do, but I can't book you. Or I can't use you for this particular gig anyway.
That's what the entire comedy industry told me.
And, Corey's been,
At least they said they like what you do. That's a start.
Yeah, I know.
The world has rejected Corey.
It's okay. It's all right.
Except on this show. This is where it's been embraced.
I am
in this format.
Look,
in the podcasting world.
I announce to you now.
You were a star.
I announce to you now, Lima, Ohio. Findlay. Dan's River Grill in Manchester, Michigan. Or wherever you fucking no-talent biker bar jerkwits sit around with your fucking cases of Pabst. Oh, I know about comedy. I'm in the show business because I have a Mr. Microphone and a fucking $2 amplifier that we use when we do our covers of ZZ Top on the weekends.
Oh.
Fuck you cunts in the face with a barbed wire dick. I am a mastermind and a genius in this business, and I will crush all of you. I have fans sending me love letters from Perth, Australia. You couldn't even identify Australia on a map if I showed it to you.
At least
if you took
bitter.
Your hands off your dick
part.
For a minute and stopped whacking off... Watching the fucking, whipping open copies of Easy Rider and looking at those trailer bait trucker trash whores with their fucking eagle tattoos on their stretched out pockmarked, you know, stretch marked vaginas that you're jerking off onto. I am a genius
Academy
in this
Award
business.
Academy Award of Rants right there,
thank
this
you.
Guy.
Well, that was,
heartfelt, I think.
Thank you very much for that.
Hi, Steve. And, thanks for coming in. No, it's not, none of this is directed at Steve himself, who's a good guy. Always fun to hang out with. Always a good time to hang with
Try
Steve.
To be. Thanks.
And, you know.
Steve has always supported you.
It's true. Steve
yeah,
has.
And when, you
Joel
know,
and I have done,
people
Joel,
haven't.
Both of us have done, there's a room in Bowling Green, which was like Steve's hometown for a while.
Yep.
And Bowling Green's a college town, and so there's like about 700 bars and, 3,000 people in the town?
It's ridiculous, actually. It's, there's actually almost an equal amount, almost one to one.
It's
think.
Ridiculous.
Yeah,
it's there's like a bar every 15 feet in Bowling Green. It's a good, but it's a college town. It's fun to hang out at. And we've done that club many times. And I had a point to make, and I forgot it, but that's okay.
I have some interesting stories about Steve's gigs that I guess I'll sort of pepper in here because I did the one I told her recently on the air. We went down for your big Christmas charity gig.
Yeah, the Toys
and,
for Tots, Bad
and
Boys.
And we did
do
a Toys
good.
For Bad Boys.
And
Bad
I did
Bus
that the
good.
Year before.
Yeah, Corey's been on that. He's been a regular on it, but it was me and Steve and who else? Steve Brewer was on that show. It was a good lineup.
Yeah, it was actually kind of a clusterfuck because half the people that were supposed to be on it didn't end up being on it.
And you put
it,
other guys on
and
it.
And other people came in and who didn't
and
necessarily
do
what they were supposed
to do. This is the show where the guy that was going before me
right,
was sort of didn't really do his time. He was running long,
right,
and he was sort of annoying. And then he just fucked up my intro,
right.
So I sort of humiliated the guy a little bit. I mean, do you want to describe your version of it? You saw the whole thing go down.
You know, it's funny. Are you like not using his name for?
You feel free to use his name if you want.
Well, no, because
I might just call him Dickface. But you know, you go right ahead.
Well, it was funny because I recently had Derek Richards down in Bowling Green.
Sure, and Derek's been on our show.
And,
you guys
and the comic Mark, I'll just say
the
his
guy
first
that
name.
The guy that hit me, yeah.
Right? He came down to see Derek too,
okay.
And Mark was trying to tell the story of what happened. His version was a whole lot different than like my version, so I had to like pepper it in and
sure,
keep changing
yeah.
certain aspects to it because the part that I thought was kind of funny was like he goes Joel just kind of squeezes his way in there. He's like yelling at me from off the stage. He's being a real asshole, and everybody's sitting there and everybody's staring, going, "What the fuck's this guy's problem?
Yeah.
What's he doing?" And he goes, Eventually, I was like, well, "I'm going to be the better person, and I'm not going to cause a scene or anything." And I'm like, looking at him, like, "Are you fucking shitting me?"
Yeah.
And then he goes, and I walked in the back, and I go, "What's his problem?" I go, "You're whispering. You were yelling
yeah.
in the back of the room."
No.
And he goes, "Well, I'm whispering now because you know I don't want to cause a scene now." I go, "Dude, come on, man. You
yeah,
know? Yeah." It was the problem.
Go ahead. No, if I was wrong, my version, just so I can refresh people's memory.
Let me just point this out. It was a charity show.
It was a charity
yeah.
show.
It's a show for the kids.
But my thing was this. I asked the guy, "Can you just do my intro?" And all he wanted to do was plug the show, Corey
right,
Joel
right.
Radio Show. And I said, "I'll write it down for you so you don't forget." Because what happens is people tell you your intro, and then when you do your set, you're up there 20 minutes.
Sure.
And you forget. It's not important. It's
sure.
in the bag of your brain. And then when you try to pull it back,
yep.
you can't get it. And I said, "Look, just, you know, just read it off the paper. No, no shame in this guy, you know,
well,
in doing that." And the guy, when he couldn't get it right, he was like, "This guy's on an internet thing, and he's the star."
Right,
and I
right.
was like, and by that point, I was already halfway. I was halfway to the stage, and
exactly.
I'm like, you know,
and that was my feeling. Was like, what else are you gonna do? Stand
right.
there in the middle of the audience, just waiting for him to
right.
get his shit together.
But I thought I was trying to make a little bit of a joke.
I thought
it.
So too.
Yeah.
And what got me the most about it was that I mean, first of all, he was supposed to be dirty, and he wasn't dirty.
Yeah,
it was
specifically
a dirty show, and it was more middle of the road stuff. I mean, he was doing okay, but it wasn't huh. it wasn't dirty like it was supposed
well,
to be.
You can't say he bombed, but
no,
it wasn't.
No.
It didn't fit the bill of a dirty show.
Right.
What happened after he hit you over the head with the My Little Pony? Because I know it was a kids it was an event to raise
yeah it was
proceeds
right.
For,
right. for toys for tots toys and pro yeah and but the part
and people
that,
brought toys
the thing that got me is that the part I tried to explain to Mark was that if Joel would have done that to me or and Derek said the same thing or if any of the comics on the bill or any comic in any situation
right.
unless I hate the
yeah.
guy and he starts doing something like that, yeah, it's a little bit of a jive, but I just fucking jive back at him and I'd
right.
be fucking I'd
and,
move
and
on.
I'm friendly with this guy.
Yeah.
I had dinner with him before the show. We
yeah.
were sitting there shooting the shit and all he had to do was, I mean, if you wanted to bust my chops, do it on stage and make it funny.
Right.
And
exactly.
I'll take it. You know,
that's what you should do is
right.
like,
but
you know,
instead he tried to bust your chops.
But yeah, he pulls me back in the back room where nobody is. And he's trying to – he starts – I go back there literally to shake the guy's hand and say, "Hey, look, I didn't mean any offense." And he starts sticking his finger in my face, calling me a son of a bitch,
but you
screaming.
For 20 minutes
yeah.
while you're on stage,
yeah.
he's in the back fuming. And I had to drag him back into the back, and he's like, I'm going to fucking kill him. And he's a big guy.
He's a big guy.
He's like, what, 6'2", 6'3"?
Oh, yeah. And
he's
heavy.
300-some
yeah.
pounds.
Sure.
He's a big guy. And my thing was – but here's the thing. When Joel finally came back there, Mark just goes after him. So I step between the two of them to try to, you know, keep Mark off him. But the biggest problem is, and this is what's going through my head, is Mark just had recovery. His knee was all messed
yeah.
up. And I can't shove the guy because if he falls and
right.
busts his knee open again, who's getting sued?
I am.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, my version
and
of this
and
is...
And Steve, you're not, you know, let's face it, you might have trouble getting on the beast at King's Island. You and Joel... Neither you or Joel are like tall guys.
Well, I wouldn't have said it that way, but Steve made an attempt to separate us.
Right,
and
right.
then at some point, Steve just said, "I'm fucking gone." And
well,
you know,
no. No, what happened was...
You
I
were
can't...
sort of like... You were preventing me from actually hitting me.
I was trying to... Exactly. Standing between the two of them.
And then when you left, he actually hit me. And then
this is the part I want to clarify. Yeah. I didn't just abandon you. I was trying to run a fucking charity show.
I hear you.
And there's a little scuffle in the back. And
yeah.
But the part that I thought was funny is I told when I left, you guys were kind of separated. You guys had calmed down for
sure.
a few seconds.
Okay.
And I go, "All right, they seem kind of separated for a second." I go, "This is my mistake." I go, "Dennis Sheehy was there." I go, "Dennis, Just keep make sure they don't go after each other again.
Dennis, and the guy weighs about 119.
I know, he's like nothing. And then I walk back in to check out what was going on over there, turn around, and Dennis is like right behind me. I go, what are you? What are you? And I go, ah. So I go running back there, and I didn't see what actually happened, but all I see is Joel's like, you know, like curled up in a standing fetal position trying to keep Mark off of him.
I told him I'm not going to fight back. I told him this isn't worth fighting for.
And at that point, you saw I grabbed Mark and I threw him off at that point. You know, and
but he had hit me already.
I have some sources that were at the scene. I was not there, but they report that Steve was not available to break up the fight because a blonde in a halter top had dropped her cell phone on the floor by the bar. And Steve was racing to see what was going on there.
I can't confirm that, but that sounds like that would be his move.
That's likely, but
that
I don't...
sounds like a move of his.
Racing to the scene.
No. We got so many great Steve stories.
I don't I don't want to have to be at a charity event. I shouldn't have to be, a bouncer either. You know,
understand that.
Oh, absolutely not.
And my basic take on it was, it was a dick move of what Joel did, but it was funny. I thought it was funny.
I thought it was funny.
I thought it was meant to be in good humor.
I try to be funny,
and
because I'm a professional comedian.
And whether Mark took it as that or not, you should have just assumed aired on the side of it being. Humorous. And
I think he sort of felt that he had this great set and he was disrespected by me.
Right.
He was showing me that he was the man because he did the Cowardly Lion voice for 5 minutes. And I was supposed to be impressed by that, which I'm not. And basically, I have to go down to that gig again and I don't want him there. So if you can make that happen.
Oh, I don't
great.
Think he's going to come.
Okay, good.
But look, here's the bottom line, though. Don't step to Sabo when you... Because Sabo, once the tiger was out of the cage, you couldn't...
You release the fucking fury.
That would happen.
Well, see, I've had a few fights. I've scuffled before.
With other comics, though?
No, not with other comics.
Because I've never fought with a comic that I was working with in a professional capacity.
Right.
I open mic guys always give me shit because I'm the host and I throw them off the stage and they're not funny and they're drunk and they're on crack. But I've never had a fight with another professional working guy that we're trying to entertain people and in this case, raise money.
But my point
that's
was...
That's unprecedented.
That should never happen.
It should never happen.
Shouldn't.
It almost never does.
I was saying, like, if he was going to hit somebody, I'd rather him hit me. You know what I mean? Because first off, you were there, but you were there donating your time for this charity event, you know. And how good does that look if I invite you down and you get your ass kicked, you know?
No, I didn't get my ass kicked.
No, you didn't. But I mean,
I did not fight back. I was a pacifist.
It was I was so angry about that, you know.
Well, if he would have hit me and hurt me, I would have called the cops. I swear I would have.
Yeah, and that would have been bad.
It would have been bad.
This story's bringing me down. Let's move on to something that's about love.
What's that?
Let's talk about Wichita.
Do you want to get into that? Because Steve, in fact, that cut that we played was from Steve's comedy CD, and it's called Band from Wichita. Where can they get this? Can they get this on your website?
Yeah, you can get that at on my website or laugh.com, or I think it might even
What's
be on
What's the name
Amazon.
Of your website? Tell everybody.
SteveSabo.com.
SteveSabo.com.
Yep, and, that one.
Now, this is called Band from Wichita.
Personally, I would think being banned from Wichita is a great boon to the world. I mean, I look at it that way, and I go, oh, I could never have to go to Kansas.
Well, it's,
smelling like cow manure, that lousy oh god.
Yeah.
Well, we're alluding to the fact I do have a lot of road stories. I've been on the road a long time.
But this is legendary, and this fact, this story is so legendary, it became the title for your CD. So go ahead.
Yeah.
What do you want to set this up?
All right, I can talk about it. I'll tell you the Duluth story too, because
a new story.
Every story about every new
legend
town.
The Duluth story is my favorite story to tell, let me tell the Duluth story.
You can do the Duluth story.
It's nothing compared to the Pocatello, Iowa story. That one's fucking off the chain for the 2K6.
Did I tell you the Pocatello, Iowa story? I do have a Pocatello.
I bet you do.
You played there, really?
I did. That's actually funny that you say that. That's not even a joke.
I know.
Duluth. Let's get to
that
Duluth.
Involves, like,
wait, are we doing Wichita or Duluth?
Well, I think we're doing Duluth.
Duluth first.
Duluth first.
All right. I was going to say Pocatello involves two meth whores, but that's not really the point. It's true. That's not even a joke.
Road trip with Steve Sabo.
Here's the Duluth story. It's a good story to tell. So the basic gist of it is I'm doing a show in Duluth, and during the show, I'm talking to some girls because that's what I do, and I'm doing a little banter back and forth. And a lot of my show based on the fact that I have bad luck with women. That's what my tour is called, my Bad Luck with Women the World Tour. And I'm talking to some girl, and I forgot her name, and I go, oh, what was your name again? And then some other girl yells out from the side, and she goes, well, that's why you never get laid. You can't even remember a girl's name. There's a big laugh, ha, 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 right? So after the show, this girl comes up to me, and she's like, and she's drunk. And she's like, she's 35. She's a hot 35, but she's all a 35. Okay, you know what I mean? Mm. And she goes, I'm that girl that zinged you back there. Mm. And I'm like, well, you didn't really zing me. You had a line, and I didn't feel like going after it. You know, whatever. She's like, no, I zinged you. And I'm like, all right, whatever. You know, move on. And she goes, my husband said that I can't show my boobs while he's around. She goes, well, I don't see him around. Woo! So she flashes her boobs.
She shows her boobs.
Yeah. And so she disappears. And I'm like, what was that all about? I don't know what's going on. Huh. So about 15 minutes later, she swings back around. Now, there's no other conversation between me and her at this point in time.
Okay.
Just that conversation. She comes back around. She goes, all right, here's the deal. I'll go home with you, but we got to diss the girl I'm with because, you know, she knows my husband or whatever. And I'm like, all right, whatever. I don't know what that's all about. Then she disappears again. And then about 15 or 20 minutes later, she comes back again. She goes, all right, I got rid of her. Let's go. So I'm like, okay, that's weird. So next thing you know, we're back at my hotel.
Okay.
And all right, so I'm fucking her doggy style in front of a mirror. All right.
Sure. Tuesday night. Which,
it was a Tuesday night. And that's the thing. I don't know what it was about. I don't know what it is about doing it in front of a mirror, you know. But
enjoy that?
Hold on. Best Western? What are we talking about?
No, this is a shithole. This is
not even high quality like Best Western.
No. This is a real shithole.
This is like a no-name hotel.
Yeah,
this
like $29 a night type of thing. And but I'm fucking in front of this mirror, and that's the point. And I'm something about watching that happen, and I'm standing there, I'm in the right position. I go, you know what? I just pulled it out and stuck it in her ass. Now, right?
Oh, okay.
This is, I know. All right.
Makes sense.
It just happened. And sure. The funny part about it was.
Little boy. It won't hurt at all.
Okay. So it's in her
ass. Oh, wait. You stuck it in her ass.
Yeah. So what happened, and at first, it's the funniest thing to watch because I'm like from behind. I'm seeing both sides of her face, you know, when because she starts turning like, she's like, wait, no, not. And then she just gives into it, and she's all good with it, and we finish, whatever, and then we're kind of laying there. And she goes, all right. And she goes, so you're gonna give me a ride home? And I'm like, yeah, I don't think that's a good idea, seeing that your husband
is there. There's gonna be a guy there.
You know, maybe you should just call a cab. And she's like, all right. So she calls a cab, and then she's laying there, and then the cab comes, and then there's you hear the cab honks outside, and she gets dressed, and she goes up to the doorway, and she's standing in the doorway, and she goes, you know, I really did zing you back there. And I go, I just fucked you in the ass and made you call a cab. Who zinged who? Huh?
So. You got laid and sent her on her way, but she got one over on you because...
Yeah, she's the one. And
that's a heartwarming story.
Women always like to think they're funny. Why is that?
You know, and it's a terrible story to tell, but that's the kind of stuff that happens on the road sometimes.
Yeah, really, absolutely.
Creepy shit.
There is a lot of nonsense on the road. Steve's kind of, you know, famous for that. Like,
yeah,
doesn't it say like there's no woman that Steve won't fuck? Isn't that
that's
sort of,
not
that,
even
that's not true.
True? No,
Steve, would it be we described another comedian as this? Would you be a noted coxman? Would that be is that a fair description of you?
A cocksmith, yes. Or coxswain? Is that another one of those words?
Coxswain is enjoyable as well.
Coxswain.
Yeah, I
cocksmith. Sure, whatever. Smith denotes that you make cocks in a laboratory. Yeah. You got an anvil and you're beating cocks out. Bing, bing, bing.
No, I'm single and I love the company of women.
Yeah.
You had a girlfriend for a long time, and we all wondered how that lasted as long as it did.
Yeah, that's hard to believe, isn't it? But I'm not. I've never been much of, you know, keeping them around, really. That's not going to come
out.
A
man
well.
Who also writes an advice column, by the way.
I do. Sibling rivalry.
Listen to him.
www.sibling-rivalry.com.
Sibling-rivalry.com. Yes. Well, here's a good Steve story. I was with Steve. I was down in Toledo at the Connections Comedy Club. And Steve just happened to show up just to hang out because Steve's in the town and he lives over there. And he shows up with some chick. I knew he was single. He was sort of away from the steady. And shows up with this chick, nice girl, I don't know. And you go, hey, we're going to go shoot pool, come join us. So I finish my set.
Oh, yeah.
I come over, I shoot pool with you and this chick, right?
Right.
And Steve's playing, and I hate pool.
Oh, yeah.
But I'll hang out and, like, have a beer. And I'm watching, we're shooting shit, we're talking about comedy, and this chick's shooting pool, and she's looking kind of good, and she's playing music on the jukebox, and I think. And
right.
Steve goes, I don't know who wins the game. I think maybe you won.
I won, yeah.
And then you said to her, you said, okay, next game, you said, we play. If I win, you have to go in the bathroom and take your panties off and give them to me.
Right.
So they're shooting pool, and next thing you know, Steve wins.
Right.
Because, of course, the stakes were so high, you weren't going to lose in that one.
Right, exactly.
And you literally made, and like most guys would be a nice guy and go, hey, that was just a joke.
No, you don't have
to take your panties off. The chick actually goes in the bathroom. She comes out. Five minutes later, she hands Steve her panties.
Yeah.
Like, Steve, are those really your panties? And he just dangles them out right in front of my fucking nose, right at the bar in front of everybody. Yeah. Like, yeah,
I still got
them,
too. I still have them.
And what happened to her?
She was around for a little while. And then,
a little while, and then she ran out of underwear, and that was it?
I guess. No, she that girl.
Did you beat her in darts, and you got to fuck her in the ear, and that was it, or what happened?
Well, let me tell you this story. Okay. Let me tell you how me and her met. And that's what you're going to be. This is why, you know, I don't do a lot of internet stuff. I'm not very good at like meeting girls on the internet or whatever. But this girl contacted me on the internet, and her name was, I shouldn't say her name. Because people could find it.
Okay.
But it was an odd name, you know.
Was this a dating site that she found you on?
Not a dating site. Oh, okay. It was just like a. It wasn't really just random IM type thing.
Okay.
You know?
All right.
And but we meet, and she's telling me the story about her name had something to do with being on vacation, and she tells me a story about she was on vacation with these two other girls, and she had a threesome with each of the girls, but separately while she was on vacation. Oh. But then she's saying the part that got me. She's telling me a story about
trying to do the math on that one.
Okay. Yeah, two other girls, right? And they each had hooked up with guys, and then she slept with both of those sets.
Okay.
But that's not even.
So she had two threesomes, each involving a different guy and a different girl.
She didn't have one sixsome.
No.
She didn't have a threesome with the two girls. Right. She had it with a girl and a guy, but twice.
Right. But the story that she told me that I don't know how I even feel about this story. Uh-huh. Right? Is that being with three girls on vacation? Right? They're out, you know, having dinner, and they make a little scene, a little ruckus thing, and she's not wearing any underwear, which doesn't surprise me based on her. Right?
Yeah.
At this thing, and this guy, the cook, comes out because you know a couple girls out.
How can they never pull that shit off?
Yeah. Couple girls come out, and the cook comes out, and he's got a meat thermometer in his apron. She grabs the meat thermometer, sticks it inside her, and says,
Whoa.
Whoa.
At the restaurant.
At the restaurant.
Holy shit.
And pulls it out and says, she goes, I think I'm done.
Call the health department.
You know? Yeah.
Motherfucker. Jesus.
Yeah. And then the guy keeps it.
That's a spicy meatball.
What are you telling me?
I mean, Jesus Christ.
I'm thinking like, I'm not going to catch herpes. I'm going to get salmonella off this bitch.
Exactly.
I don't know. That's freaking disgusting. You know?
Oh, my God.
So we went out after that, but
and she banged this cook.
No, she didn't.
It was just after the meat thermometer she was done.
I'm just gonna throw it. That would stop me from talking to the bitch. The old meat thermometer in the hoo hoo dilly.
But once you've stuck a meat thermometer in a girl's crooch, what's left? I mean,
yeah, where do you go from there?
It's really that's.
Yeah, I would walk away from that one.
That's what
makes you a special vanguard.
Well,
you're out there doing,
and
it
then
for
you, and then yeah, and so I guess it wasn't shocking when she took her underwear off for pool,
right?
That was just fucking Friday night. That was not even a big deal.
It wasn't. Well, I guess that's, not for her. It was
that's dinner party stuff, Joel.
So basically, she wasn't really a keeper anyway.
Yeah,
she
exactly.
Wasn't the kind of girl that you want.
You knew that with her reputation.
She wasn't
going to be a long term.
No, she's a nice girl. She was fun. You know.
Imagine you have kids with her, and then at the PTA meeting, she's shoving Lincoln Logs up her cooch. Kindergarten.
Yeah, it's just
a meat thermometer. Oh my god!
Dude, I know it's
those things are long. How far did it go up? In?
I didn't have exact details.
It could hit intestine with that thing.
Yeah,
are
I don't.
You kidding me?
That's disgusting. I know.
Oh.
I know. And she told the story, and it's one of those stories where you're going, yeah, huh? You know, you don't leave that feeling good about that story ever.
But had she been wearing underwear, that wouldn't have happened. Was that the?
I think that's the moral of that story.
Here's the thing. Nothing stops Steve. Because Steve and I were on the road one time. We were like coming back from Illinois on the border of Indiana and Illinois.
Yeah.
It's like lunchtime. It's like 1:30 or so. Mm-hmm. And
Strip club.
And we went and got some gas. And we noticed this like little shack, this like wooden shack. It looked like a barn.
Yeah.
Right by the overpass. And
it was Crawfordsville, Indiana.
Live nude girls.
Yeah, we got to check this out. And I'm like, what? it's like lunchtime.
So you know the best quality chicks are working there.
It was open. It was, and it was a Monday, too.
Yeah, yeah.
So Monday at 1:30 is when the top
something
girls
like
work.
Yeah. And so we
not on Friday, Saturday night. No. Yeah. Monday at 1:30.
Yeah. And we go in there and like
what is that cesarean scar shift? Is that what you call it?
Oh God! Oh, if only they had that kind of medical technology when these chicks were having kids. Because like this, like you know, the girl who opens the door is like freaking B. Arthur. All right, there's like the old truck stop whore.
Yeah.
And then she's like, well, let me get the pretty one. You know, and,
that's what she said. Yeah.
Yeah. And the pretty one's got like just the leathery saddlebags. I mean, yeah. Look like
the pretty one working the fryer at Arby's next door. Or I don't know. How do they find her?
Her middle name is Trigger. That's all I know. I mean, literally, yeah. This chick is just, and Steve's like, yeah, let me see what you got going on.
Okay.
And she's like pulling her,
yeah, she's showing all the works. Yeah.
Steve's optimism. That's what it's all about, optimism. He's like, look, well, you're a trucker whore, and you look like you're 20,000 miles of Georgia asphalt, but maybe if you pull down your pants, something magical is going to be in there.
I'm all about the story.
Yeah, I know. I know.
It's worth it just for the story.
Sometimes, yeah. Okay, sometimes, right. You know.
Well, I'll tell you what. You want to tell the Wichita story, and we'll get us up to a break here?
All right,
and,
yeah, okay. I can tell that.
This is the title of his CD.
Yeah.
Wichita.
The basic gist of this story is, I'll try to be as succinct as possible. I was working a club in Wichita, Kansas, and this was several years ago, and I don't know how the club is now, but at the time, the club was pretty messed up.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, you know, fucked up shit going on. And the cut to the chase on this one, I was fucked up. I was drinking a lot that week.
Really?
And, yeah.
Hold on a minute. Call the Newswire.
Yeah.
Report to the AP.
Steve was
drinking.
Wichita is just a terrible town.
Yeah.
It's like surrounded by absolutely nothing.
Yeah, yeah.
There's literally nothing anywhere nearby Wichita, and it's just in the middle of
And for some reason, my show kind of inspires people to want to send me up shots. That's just kind of stuff I talk about.
Yeah, we've seen you. We've seen you get real loaded on
really
stage.
Loaded a lot.
Yeah.
And but
I've had to, like, intercept shots for Steve. Like, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I won't even bring all the shots that are heading up to him. I'm like, shit, I got to do a couple of these on the side.
Diverting
them. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because it's like 15 shots into it, and you're like, whoa.
I know. And I do pretty good for the most part.
Yeah,
you know, I maintain my liquor. But this particular show, I did, like, 5 shots the first show. And this is the second show on a Saturday night. And the staff wants to see how many shots I can do. They're just being, you know,
scientific curiosity.
Yeah, and it's the staff, and they just want to see me get messed up. And it's that's how whacked out this club is. Yeah. You know,
inquisitive minds.
Yeah, they don't care about how good the quality of the show is. Yeah. They're just like going, I was a feature then. Let's get the feature fucked up. You know, whatever. So I did something like between 25 and 30 shots on stage the second show.
Right.
And I'm only doing 30 minutes. And they were mixed shots too. It wasn't like just like one straight liquor. It was like all kinds of different things.
Because let's consider, if show business is a galaxy, Wichita is the farthest spiral arm on a floating
Pluto.
Nebula of gas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So not good. I finished out the show, and then I was hammered. I mean, I didn't pass out.
Yeah.
I didn't throw up.
I would hope you're hammered after 25.
But I'm freaking hammered, and you'd think the staff would keep an eye on me at that point. You know, something like going, hey, you know, he's had a few drinks. Maybe we should, you know, whatever.
Somebody go babysit the comic.
Right. Something. Or
the humanitarians that work at a bar in Wichita.
Well, they were not. And so I'm selling my stuff afterwards. Some girl flashes her boobs for a CD, which is another thing.
Yeah, girls can do
that
at Steve's shows. If you want a band from Wichita, show your tits after a show.
Happens
a
lot.
They're free CDs.
Girls can do that at anybody's show.
Yeah.
Let's not stop
But Steve actually announces it during the show.
Yeah, I announce it on stage. And so she does. And then she's telling me the story about her boyfriend breaking up with her and blah, 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 blah. And she's hot. And it's not even just because I'm hammered. I mean, she's hot. Mm-hmm. And so it's partly the fact that I'm drunk and partly the fact that she's so hot that I really don't think she's hitting on me.
Yeah.
And it doesn't register to me that this girl is trying to take me home. And so I'm kind of ignoring her advances like an idiot. And then there's a band that's next door, and they're playing I Touch Myself by the Vinyls. And I go running out there, and I start stripping to I Touch Myself to the Vinyls. This is one of the stupid things. And me and the other two comics, we start stripping, and we end up doing this like full Monty thing where we're like completely naked. And that doesn't get me in trouble. That's fine. That's perfectly
fine. That's accepted behavior.
But I get redressed, and at some point in time, I start, hey, wait a minute. I think that girl was hitting on me.
Mm.
You know, and it suddenly hit me. So I walk up to this girl at this point in time, and I'm trying to get her to go back to the hotel with me. I'm thinking, like, hey, maybe we should hook up.
Sounds sensible.
Yeah. But it's not working because now she realizes how hammered I am, you know, and she's just not, you know, she's not as into it as she would have been. And I'm trying to convince her by telling her I have great oral technique, which I do. And
well, you know, I'll take your word on
just
that.
Just want to get that out there.
Just for the
he's a man who uses his tongue for a living.
Yeah, that's my thing. That's my thing.
Okay.
That's what I like to do. And so she's like, going, she says, all right, prove it. And I go, all right, let's go. Let's go back to the hotel or the condo, whatever. And she's like, no. If you were a real man, you'd do it right here. Mm. That's where the trouble arises.
Right in the club.
Yeah. Because now we're in a, it's a sidebar attached to the club.
Yeah.
And there's about 40 people in there just, you know, having drinks after the show. And now the sensible man, even though I'm drunk, sensibly I'm thinking to myself, she's kidding. You know, she's just,
right.
You know, she's not serious. I got to call her bluff. I go, all right.
At some point, she's going to prevent you from getting in trouble.
Right?
She doesn't want to get in trouble herself.
Exactly.
And she's challenging you to, like, come eat me out, but you don't really want to do it.
They don't do that at a bar.
Yeah. I mean,
that's just not going to happen.
It's never happened, yeah.
Right. So I go, all right, you know, if, you know, drop your pants and underwear right here in this bar. I'll go down right here in this bar. She takes a step back, drops her pants and underwear right in the middle of the bar.
Oh,
what am I going to do? Right?
Yeah.
What am I going to do?
The challenge is out there.
Yeah, I have two choices. I can either back off and be a pussy,
yeah,
or I can go down on her right there in the bar.
Yeah.
So I went down on her right there in the bar.
Wow.
Yeah, and it was, and it wasn't like, see, once you're already in that position, you got to kind of, you know, you got an audience, and you got to finish the job, and you got to do it well. You can't just, you know.
So you did. You used full on
professionalism,
right? You can't
integrity.
You can't just dabble. You gotta, you know, you gotta finish
full
the job.
Full cunnilingus at the bar, right?
Yeah, and at one point in time, like, her ass is up on the bar,
yeah,
and it's going crazy, and she's screaming and yelling, and partially because I'm so good, and partially because she's in public, you know, with her goods on display, you know, and so we finish up the job. And,
so how long does this take? Like, how long are you going down?
I can't tell you I have any good, you know, recollection of time. But probably 10 minutes.
10 minutes?
Maybe, you know, something
okay
like that. I don't know. And so this is going on. And then she's getting redressed. And when she's getting redressed, I look around the room. And at that point in time, it just kind of focuses. Right then in the moment, I go, wow, that probably wasn't the smartest thing to do.
I've heard this story before, you know? And it's still good.
It's great.
And I look around the room, and everybody's just staring at me. You know, nobody's hooting, nobody's hollering.
Wow.
They're just staring. And the MC's girlfriend walks over and hands me a Tic Tac, which I think is hilarious.
Oh, okay, right? There you go.
And I'm thinking, okay, this is going to blow over a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
But then immediately things start speeding up, you know, like,
wow,
all of a sudden the bouncer's over to me and a bartender, and they're pushing me out the door, and they're like, you know, you got to get the hell out of here, blah, 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 blah. So they send me back. They make me drive myself home at this point.
Loaded.
Yeah, well, I'm completely loaded. Go back to the condo, and the next morning at noon, the manager comes in the room and goes in my bedroom, whatever I'm at, and she fires me. And there's other antics with her before that week that I didn't even get into.
Yeah, okay, no, that's fine.
But she fires me, which I thought was really ridiculous that she would, because she wasn't exactly the most professional person that week either.
Sure, okay.
And she says, basically, you know, it was a violation of the liquor license, which I thought was kind of funny because that's what I was doing. And that she said she had a videotape, and that they threatened that if I didn't leave town without a fuss, that they were going to take the tape to the authorities. And
videotape.
If I ever come back, security camera.
What the hell is that shit?
It's not good.
Well, it was by the, you know, it was by the bar where the...
So, yeah, they might have had a monitor on that.
And I don't know if it's true or not, but that was the threat. And apparently, I looked it up, there's like 8 to 18 laws that I violated technically.
Yeah, I'm sure
there.
They have some blue laws.
Oh, yeah, some bad ones in Kansas.
Kansas, absolutely.
Really bad. So
the Bible Belt.
So the basic gist was I'm near to return to
you are banned
Wichita.
From Wichita.
Yeah.
Well,
not allowed.
I'll tell you what, we'll get you on consorting with a nigra, too. I wasn't even a colored in the bar, but we'll get you on that. I know you a nigra lover.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's not exactly my proudest moment. You know, and I don't condone it. I'm not trying to say
that.
Did
they at least pay you for your services?
I got paid. Well, there's another show.
But so you lost some of the money? Is that
yeah, I lost some of the money.
You made it up in the plaudits and love of your fellow comedians. You are now a legend in the comedy business.
Yeah.
And your name will be spoke. The words Wichita Sabo. That's your
what
nickname.
Gets me is that story has not left my name. Like, normally, a story, eventually, it's to hear about the comic that
right
did whatever,
yeah,
but it's
see,
not.
It
it's
could
still
be
me
that you tell it to everybody with an earshot.
It is true.
That could be why that story doesn't leave your name.
Because I heard the story. I didn't hear the story from you. I heard it from somebody else. And I go, hey, would you want to tell me what happened in Wichita? I sort of heard something, and you were like, oh, I don't know.
This
must have been pretty recently after it happened, and you were sort of like, oh, I don't think I can tell
maybe
that.
Maybe because you took an ad out in Variety and detailed the story.
Press release.
That story gets old. That's around, man.
But see, I don't like the – I mean, I only tell it when people – I mean, I told you guys because you asked on this show, but
sure.
For the most part, I only tell when people tell me what they heard, and they and it's awful.
It has
to
be correct. The record has to be straightened.
Yeah,
and hopefully, Steve, I heard that you stuck a bottle in a midget and three babies. In which it
no, but I also have a story about a girl with a beer bottle in her ass.
Okay,
in Sandusky.
Well, that sounds like the Christmas show for next year. Let's save that one.
Yeah, don't blow your return booking.
I didn't have anything to do with that. Okay. I just saw it happen.
Well, I'll tell you what we're gonna do.
I didn't do it.
I have a great story, and I know you know it, and Corey, I think you know it too. I'm teasing it a little bit here. I'm gonna tell. We're gonna take a break in a minute. My Chillicothe, Ohio story.
That's a classic.
It was a gig you booked me on.
Yeah.
Do you know it?
Yeah.
So we're gonna get to that in the second half of the show.
Yeah.
And what else are we gonna do, Corey?
Oh, there's much
more Steve stories.
You know what? Hold
what
on.
Do you got?
What? Never mind.
Okay.
Corey had
something, but his chubby fingers have blown it once again.
You know,
they have faulted you.
Hey, hold on. What's that, Dick Clark?
There is still a lot more party to go here on New Year's Rosh Eve.
Thanks, Dick. Yeah, there's a lot more party to come. Did you? That was Dick on New Year's
Eve. I didn't see that. That's sad.
It is sad. But we have more show. Don't forget, just a couple quick plugs to vote on Podcast Alley. It's February. Go vote for us.
Yeah, we get voting, people.
Get voting on that, and you can review our show on iTunes.
Some of you have, and we'd like
get
more.
It up there. So get the show on iTunes. Don't forget, CoreyandJoelRadio.com is the website. We got an archive with all shows up there, 55 shows. And you can go to the forum and chat with us on that.
And, of course, Steve, what do you have to plug there? You have a mini plug.
Oh, yeah. I want to plug my – we can talk about it when we come back. But the my new website, I want my $2.net.
Okay.
And my website, SteveSabo.com.
All right.
Which has books, rulers, CDs,
yeah, Steve
t-shirts.
Steve has a lot of paraphernalia.
Yeah.
Steve's got a whole shop that tours with
him. I do.
Steve has the whole Steve Sabo shop.
We'll get into that.
Shop. So we're going to play more White Ghost Shivers. Don't forget to get this on Chicken Ranch Records.
We're gonna hold down.
You guys enjoy this. We'll be back with more. Imagine you're eating a girl on a bar in Wichita to this
song. This is Kansas music.
This is good. This is good music.
Smoke breaks, slip it.
Come on!
White Ghost Shivers. Get that on ChickenRanchRecords.com, our great sponsor.
Yeah.
We're back here on Show 55 with our main man, Steve Sabo. Our good buddy.
That was a fun tune. It was like totally not the kind of stuff we normally play.
But it was fun, and I hope everyone enjoyed it. And you can get that CD. It's called Live on the Radio.
For the fine folks at Chicken Ranch Records.
White Ghost Shivers is the band. So
are they from Texas?
I don't know where White Ghost is. They have bands from all over, so I'm not sure. Where are they from? I have no idea.
Because Chicken Ranch is in Austin.
They're in Austin, but they have groups from all over. I have no idea where they're
from.
Okay,
well, go to chickenranchrecords.com and check that out.
I wanted to say this, too. This just popped in my head a second ago. We talked about the fact that I put shows together and stuff like this, but the difference between me and a lot of the other bookers that are out there is I'm on the comic side. I try to find gigs that are fun for the comics to do.
That's true.
Let them be as free as they want, where people like... You know, like Corey can perform actually a lot of these places because they're a little bit more.
I like that you have a blind guy that's in your arms.
Who's the name of the blind guy? I've worked with him.
Oh yeah,
Troy.
Troy Hammond. Yeah,
Troy Hammond is a blind comic.
And Joel and I did the same club.
We did
with
the same exact club with him.
Many months separate.
Was that Fremont?
Fremont, Ohio, I believe. Yeah. And Troy was great because this guy's a blind guy and. I think he smokes a lot of marijuana.
Probably, yeah.
Which you can blame a guy. He's blind, right?
Right.
And he was funny. I mean, he wasn't, he wouldn't Richard Pryor reincarnate, but he is a good act.
Yeah.
A lot of it's blind jokes. You know, he does a lot of obvious stuff. He faces the wrong way and that kind of stuff.
Right.
But he was great.
What you know.
Yeah. And he was doing shots with me after he wanted to do some shots after the bar.
Mm-hmm.
So he just literally had this because he has a driver, has a chick that drives him, of course. He can't get anywhere on his own. So, like, he was lining up shots and, I would just let him go, and he would grab the empty shot glasses and start trying to knock those back. It was real funny,
you're teasing
man.
The blind guy.
No, I wasn't teasing him, but I would see him grab the empty one, and he would, like, brace himself for the shot, and then it was empty, you know?
You could tell by the weight.
You know, he was after your seventh or eighth one.
Yeah, aren't you supposed to be more sensitive if you're blind? Your other senses come back in? I don't know.
He was a good guy. Steve booked some... didn't you book some of the ex-SNL people, didn't you?
Yeah.
You had Ellen Cleghorn?
Ellen Cleghorn, yeah. Really? Yeah, I did a 20-city tour with her.
Yeah?
Yep. And that's actually one of the reasons why my business expanded as much as it did when it did.
Wow.
Was that she called me up and randomly out of the blue, which I thought was really weird. And she said she wanted to do some, I don't know how she knew of me, but she had heard of me. And she said she wanted to do some stuff in the Midwest. I guess she had some show that she's trying to work on and she wanted to
work it out. She was on the It's This or Hand Jobs for Crack tour with Ellen Cleghorn.
I emceed that show.
That was a good show. It was fun.
But she's actually, she's a pretty, she's done a lot of stuff. She's won Emmys. She's had her own sitcom.
Yeah.
So she's been her life for 5 years. She was in Adam Sandler movies. She's done a lot of stuff.
You've got her and the stars of the Corey and Joel radio show working for you. So
While we're on the Saturday Night Live tip, there's this this video for this thing, Lazy Sunday. Have you seen that at all?
Yeah, that's old news.
I know, but it's kids, the teenagers and the kids today.
The kids love that.
That's a big college clip.
They watch Napoleon Dynamite and that video.
So
it's the end of comedy.
It's this guy Andy Samberg and
I actually enjoyed that. I watched it live on TV as it happened.
So they do a little rap about how they're going to go get cupcakes and go watch the Chronicles of Narnia.
Yeah.
But an emphasis on chronic.
Huh.
This led me into this whole different world of you go video, all these video things.
Yeah.
And I just want to give a little plug to a good friend of mine, Ryan Ridley, who I started doing comedy with. He's on this thing called Channel 101. Now, Joel would hate this, but it's little 3-minute sketch clips that you can see and check that out.
Mark was telling me about that yesterday.
Ryan's got the top rated show right now, and he's a guy from Detroit, a good friend of mine, and we started doing comedy together. So go check out Channel 101. Now we'll move on with the rest of the program. Just a little plug, I think.
All right. Thanks to Corey.
Oh, hey. That was so nice.
And go to Corey's MySpace page and look at girls that he's stuck a finger in.
Wow.
I'm sorry. I was a dick move.
Why
are
you going to be such a hater?
Because it's just funny. It's just funny that you the first time that you plug stuff and it's funny.
Well, Ryan has the top show on Channel 101 right now called The Wastelander.
There's a guy named David Letterman's got a top rated show.
Yeah.
No, I mean...
He's your buddy. I know. It's funny because when I try to plug, hey, get on our mailing list, Corey starts twisting around in his chair.
I am not...
His underwear's in a bunch. I'm like, dude, it's our show.
I do something...
And now you're sucking some other guy's nuts. And I like Ryan. I know Ryan. He's a great guy, and I'm sure he's funny.
I'd say something nice one time, and the guy's on my...
Well,
my
but, case. It's out of character.
Hey, meanwhile, speaking of plugs, what about my website about making me a millionaire?
Oh, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. You're going to make Steve a millionaire.
Yeah. It's my new website. I don't know if you guys have you checked it out yet?
No, I have not.
Oh, you have to check it out.
Well, we'll do that.
It's called iwantmy2dollars.net.
I want my $2.
Yeah, I want my number two.
Number two.
D-O-L-L-A-R-S.net. And it's like my tribute to Better Off Dead for that line in the movie.
Okay.
But sure. Yeah. But basically the gist of the whole
site. The immortal John Cusack classic directed by Savage Steve Holland.
Exactly. Very good.
Wow. Yes. That's nice. Impressive.
Who also directed One Crazy Summer.
And?
What's the other Steve Savage?
How I Got Into College.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Yeah.
Not a John Cusack. Wasn't
that's there, another but, Savage Steve Holland production.
But Nora Dunn and
speaking of SNL alumni.
Yeah, exactly. She was in it.
Alumnus.
But anyway, Lara Flynn I got this. So I came up with this idea. Me and my buddy were sitting there talking about it. It's an experiment, social experiment to see, like, if everybody you meet in a year gave you a dollar, you know, how long would it take for you to become a millionaire?
Okay.
But I don't know if I want to wait that long. So I figured I'm going to have everybody I meet give me $2.
Okay.
You know, I want everybody I know to give me $2 and everybody they know to give me $2 and see how it builds and builds and builds.
And it's all going to you.
Yeah, to become a millionaire.
You want to become a millionaire.
If I had everybody I have on MySpace give me $2, I'd be about $420 richer.
Yeah,
so
but
there
see,
you go.
Well, what you could do, you can send a little link on your MySpace to all these other people that I don't know and tell them to donate $2 to me. And as
anything you can do to squeeze a nickel out of people, isn't that right, Steve?
Corey has a website called whowantsmytwofingers.com. It's really great.
It's a good site.
It's a good site. It's sort of in the same vein.
But see, the concept of this one is that it's the first time somebody's asking you for money that doesn't need money. That's my hook. I don't need money.
Why,
I have plenty of money.
Why give it to those Katrina victims?
Right. When you can give it to
there's been guys who are like, send me your pennies. There's been sort of these things that have been done over the years. Get rid of your pennies, and people send coffee cans full of pennies to the guy.
Sure.
And, you know, the guy made, you know, some serious money doing it.
Well, sure.
You know, the best thing to do is get a TV show. Because our favorite Soupy Sales legendarily did a bit where he told the kids to go get that little green paper in their parents' wallets.
Right.
And send it to him.
And mail it to him. But, you know, this is the thing. It's like, you know, why not? Everybody that donates goes on the website, and we have a little running tally to see, you know, if it's going to happen.
So what we're saying now is that for our audience, go send your guilders or euros or francs.
Oh, yeah. Any amount of money. And it could be, you know, I don't care if it's foreign or if it's American. I'll do the
pesos,
I'll do the translation.
Rubles, shekels, whatever they have in Australia.
Absolutely.
Crowns.
You know?
Are those pounds down there? What are
Australians would have pounds, I believe.
I have people that have donated as little as 20 cents and people that have donated as much as $25.
Oh, okay.
You know? So,
and this money all goes to a worthy cause.
Goes to making me a millionaire.
Paying off your maternity bills. Is that
I've never gotten anybody pregnant. I don't have anything like that.
Thank goodness.
I'm pretty safe.
This money goes to support strippers all across North America, folks.
He's going to take the money and disperse it.
Exactly. Steve is
a giver. I give back.
Coast,
yeah. I give
like
back
Robin
to the
Hood.
No.
Yes. And you send him $2, it'll find its way into a G-string. On a girl named Jasmine.
It's trickle down
somewhere
economics.
In a place that isn't Wichita. And that's something beautiful.
But if nothing else, just check it out. The more hits I get, the higher I get on search engines, and the more people can send me money. And, you know, I can become a millionaire.
This will help pay for tattoos on white trash girls. This will. See, you know what you're doing? You're supporting the economy because.
I'm helping.
Then you're helping the guy at the tattoo shop to buy crank.
You see?
And then that helps
all
the guy
the
who makes
around.
The crank in
this
the bathroom.
Going into bar trivia machines
see
all over
works?
The country.
Yes.
And
absolutely.
Electric dart machines.
And then the guy takes his crank profits and he invests in bringing some more Mexicans over in a truck over the border at night.
You see,
so that they can go garden.
It's a good thing to give me money.
And then they buy tamales. It works. See how this works?
It's a good thing.
Steve is a good guy. Give it up.
Give
$2.
Yeah, and I am a good guy. I have some evil to me, but
Steve,
I'm a good
Steve's
guy.
Steve's a good guy, and on his CD, Midgets, Cream Corn, and a Tub Full of Jello, which I presume is available.
Yep, that's my first CD.
At SteveSabo.com. He has such important titles as number 11, Vagina Sandwich.
Yeah, that's another true story.
It's a, Yeah. What a good guy you are.
That's about a threesome that didn't happen.
Oh, really?
You know, that's what that story's about.
Okay.
You know.
And this was recorded at the Comedy Castle.
No, it was not.
No, but you're
the
on
picture
the
was taken.
The back cover, you're on the Comedy Castle.
Yeah. Kirk Nolan took that picture, and it's like one of the best pictures I've ever had.
I was there that night. I was actually at the recording of Band from Wichita.
I like the Shauna Inside as well.
Yep.
Steve
that's
has
at,
some good
that's
CDs.
At the Ann Arbor before.
We'll throw up the links on our page.
Oh, absolutely. Not to argue with Steve's CD, but Steve's other CD has such titles as fatchicks.com and pussified.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
So
yeah.
Really, you can't do better than Steve Sabos.
You really can't.
And how to remove a size 7 flip-flop from your colon.
Okay, see?
Yeah.
Oh, can I tell the Chillicothe?
This is this is a plug heavy show. Anyway,
it is. Let me tell the Chillicothe story because there's no plugs involved here. But folks, I was in a town. I was asked to do a show in Chillicothe, Ohio. Now people are saying, where the hell is that? Chillicothe is a town, very southern Ohio, sort of near Cincinnati, but a little east of that.
Yep.
Near almost Kentucky. Like south of Columbus, about 40 minutes south of Columbus.
God's country.
Yeah.
Right.
And I show up for the gig.
Well, wait, clarify the first part of it. This is the part that I think is most important about it. It's not a club I ever saw.
Right. This is a first time something, a one time thing.
A one time thing. They called me up and they wanted, they're looking for a couple comics for a cancer benefit.
It's a charity cancer benefit. And I'll do a benefit. And I was getting paid.
You're getting paid
fine,
for it.
You know, and I go down there.
Which is unusual. Usually, don't get paid for a charity gig. So.
It depends where they are.
Well, they're trying to earn money, you know. So they're hiring entertainment so they can earn money.
They're
for,
using a portion of their budget.
Sure,
to,
that's good.
Exactly.
So I'm down there with a and I show up at the hotel and I realize I'm booked with. Actually, I show up at the club and I booked with a girl named Chrissy Burns, who's a fine comic we know and.
Local
gal
has a lot of ties to cancer,
and
so
she has cancer recovered and survivor and all
that. She's a national touring.
And she's known. She tours and she lectures about cancer and recovery and all stuff.
Well, so it's the perfect person.
Yeah, and I'm like, well, cancer benefit. You get me, and then you get Chrissy, and it's a great gig. And I show up, and this is the bar that is across from the Harley dealership in Chillicothe.
Yeah.
So it's basically 100 Harley guys. That want to watch in Kentucky, practically.
Right.
Waiting to hear my jokes and Chrissy Burns. So I'm like, okay, it's not so bad. So I show up, and we find that we're playing in before the heavy metal cover band that's in there that night. They're the main headliners, and we're just the openers for them.
Right.
Big stars.
And I go, is there anywhere for me to hang out? I wasn't really comfortable sitting in the bar because there was a lot of rough people. Mm-hmm. So they put me in the basement of the bar. Which is a place where it was like all flammable containers next to the furnace. It was really a great, real great safe place to hang out. So so Chrissy Burns finally shows up, and I finally say, okay, Chrissy, let's hang out. You know, we're talking, and I go, and the guy comes up to me. The DJ is going to introduce me, and he goes, well, Joel, I want you to just write a little intro for me. And I said, oh, okay, no problem. So I write, he's from Detroit. He plays clubs all over. That's the intro. I know we have another story about my intro, but this guy actually got the intro right. He takes my intro, and he goes, I'll introduce you. And I said, okay. And we're sitting around, and then 10 minutes later, he goes, okay, Joel, we're going to play, like, one more song, and then it's you. And Corey, I think you have the song that he gave me.
Are we?
Let me preface
this.
I go on stage, and this is all white biker guys in Chillicothe, Ohio. So he goes, there's one more song before you hit the stage, Joel. So go ahead and play the song.
And it's
this is the intro song.
Raising money for cancer with this song.
Yeah, play the song.
She did what? Oh, no.
Maybe, now listen, we don't endorse this song. This is just.
She ran off with.
This is just what happened, okay?
She didn't even say goodbye.
Now, I'll be honest. I've heard these shows on these songs on the Howard Stern show.
Like right.
Bigger.
It rhymes with bigger, folks. It's coming, and I know this is coming. Where's this heading? This is the song.
They really
played
this.
I play. It's better than that. This is right before. Listen.
She ran off with the nigger.
Okay, pause that, Corey. All right, yeah, you heard what he said.
Wow.
It's about a guy whose wife ran off with, in his words, a nigger. That's the
a black
name.
Guy. Yeah.
And this is, and so I'm like, oh my God, they're not really fucking playing this. I got to go tell jokes, and I'm playing in front of these racists that are in the nigger song. And I'm like, holy shit. And I go, Chrissy, can you imagine? And she's like, oh my God. And then they get to the chorus, and it gets better. Play the rest of it. Because what happens,
she ran off,
the chorus comes, the entire bar begins singing along to this song.
He's got a
wow.
They're singing this part of the song.
They all
got
know it.
Band.
All I can say is, well,
they're, now, it's 100 bikers singing a nigger song.
This is going to be number one on iTunes.
And then it ends, and it's like, and here he is. This is a key word. From Detroit. You motherfucking nigger lover from. And they're just screaming racial epithets at me, a fat white guy from Detroit, because I'm from Detroit. Go back with their kind over there, you and loving mother.
And this is why I love black people, because they're too smart to go to Chillicothe, Ohio.
So these bikers...
You never catch a black guy in Chillicothe, Ohio.
I can't even tell a friggin' joke. And not only are they heckling me, they're so ineloquent at the art of heckling that they actually run to the stage to heckle. They run and get right in my face. Guys are sticking their fingers in my face and calling me a motherfucker and go back to Detroit, you N-loving son of a bitch. And it was like... I can't work with this.
Yeah.
I heard, do some Niger jokes.
Yeah, and they were like, do some... Oh, my God. It was just... It's an absolute true story.
And then you ran back home to civilization where you could watch your HDTV and post your show on the internet, which they'll get sometime in 2029.
Well, yeah, they're not going to hear this. I'm not really worried about it. But then,
Clem have a dial-up he got an AOL.
He got CompuServe.
But we all got to come over and borrow. Is he on Prodigy?
So Chrissy Burns goes up, and you're like, well, this is a woman, and she's a little heavier, let's be honest.
Right.
They'll be nice to her. Absolutely
a little
not.
A little heavier than what?
A little heavier than a baby
the moon?
All right.
Stop.
This is not about Chrissy's fairy fun.
A little heavier than all the gold at Fort Knox?
She's got some girth to her. She's a big girl.
So I'm thinking they'll leave her alone, and she's doing, hey, I had cancer stuff. Chrissy does maybe 30 minutes. She's like, I'm done with this shit.
Right.
So finally, we're like, we tell the owner, look, we want our money. We want to go. Sorry, we hope you have a great benefit. This is bullshit.
Right.
Come on out, you know. So the guy's backstage, and he's like, he gives me my money. And then Chrissy goes to recover. She had a couple props she uses on stage. She goes back to the stage, and he goes, do you want me to pay her, or should I just give you her money? And I'm like, well, just give me her money. That's fine. So the guy doesn't realize, I guess, that he had given me my money already. So he gave me my money and then her money, which left us with, like, double my money.
Right.
And Chrissy comes back, and she goes to the guy. She goes, okay, you can pay me now. I'm like, Chrissy, let's go. She's like, what do you mean? I haven't... Chrissy, let's go. No. Let's get out of the club. It's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, Chrissy, we have to go. I have your money. Let's go. Right. And she was like, what the hell are you talking about? So we get out in the parking lot. I'm like, we got an extra $100. Here you go. You know. So we took our combat pay and went
$100 less
took
money
it from
cancer.
The charity.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Fuck that guy.
Cancer was not cured that evening.
Fuck your racist bullshit.
I'm gonna tell you something right now. If this money goes to cure cancer in niggers, y'all can fucking take it. I'm telling you what, if them smarty pants doctors think they gonna cure nigger cancer, they got something other
It's
coming.
Not curing anemia. That's what the
well, I want to.
It's not a sickle cell benefit.
I want to apologize for having played that song, but I just wanted to expose.
I'm gonna cure
the racism.
Let me clear
in
the
Chillicothe. It's a little Queensryche.
Nice.
A little racist.
That's
Steve
for
actually likes Queensryche.
I do.
Let it go a little bit. Right. I'll put an end to that over here. I have the power of the board.
Me and PJ went to. We were in the third row for the Queensryche.
You and our buddy PJ. We love PJ.
We all know no racists have ever liked Queensryche.
Yeah, it was
never won.
Yeah, we just had to expose that. Now, of course, exposing it meaning I had to go download it, and I did, but to expose the racism.
How did you even find the title of that song?
Believe me, it's real easy. You type in, there's a certain keyword you type in, and it pops right up with 87 other songs.
Is that listed under Johnny Rebel?
Yeah, I believe that's what it's called.
Almost all songs that are racist, they are released under the
name
Johnny Rebel.
Yeah, what happens is it's like a catch-all name. Like, if you're a racist guy and you want to release a song,
you know, their sales are going to go up after
Johnny
this.
Rebel. Really well, that is not on Chicken Ranch Records.
Like, let's say
that.
But see, that's a
and they don't endorse it, and neither do we.
That's like for everybody though. Like, you know, like a lot of country guys will record these things.
Yeah, right. And they don't want to use the real names.
Like David Allen Coe.
He was accused of that, and I think he's owned up to one or two of them. I don't know that was particularly.
But you know,
something that he.
Let's
sang
say Travis just, Tritt wants to record this, and he doesn't want to put it out under his name.
Right. When Shania Twain wants to record us,
nice.
Sure. Now, I know that this is not just country music, because this happens. I know Michael McDonald did it.
Sure.
Well, he did What a Coon Believes. It was a parody of his song.
Stop it. Now that's racist.
What a Fool Believes.
Stop.
And
stop. Listen.
What a Coon Believes.
When Billy Joel wants to...
He receives... Fuck!
All right, I'm turning your mics off. Stop it. Stop it.
Come on.
Stop it.
What?
Wow.
Listen.
What? That's a good...
You're completely wrong.
I'm doing a good bit.
Stop. No. That's awful.
All right.
Impressive.
Oh, God. When Billy Joel wants to disparage the Chinx, he's Johnny Rebel. Okay, I'll be honest about
nice.
That.
Oh, I can just do 45 minutes
right,
on this one.
Where did the show go? But that's a true story. That was a Steve Sabo booked gig.
Yeah, but that's an example of one of those gigs that I was very much misled in.
Yeah,
that. You know, they call me up. They say they want a couple comics for a cancer benefit. You think, oh, this is going to be some nice, you know, community, you know, caring people that are trying to do a good thing. And not so much. No, not that
this
one.
Is not the this is not the Rotary Club. This is not the
This is
bikers.
It's a tough life, and we applaud you for going out there and fighting the good fight.
What's your excuse? Steve didn't actually go to the gig. Steve took the money.
But that's the thing is that we got a lot of you guys know, right? There's a lot of agencies out
there. Wait, Steve, did you take a booking fee on top of the overpayment that they got on this?
No, they kept their overpayment. You know, I had my own. I got a booking fee for
exactly.
So not only did you guys get overpaid, Steve took a booking fee. No work for cancer.
I believe that we probably didn't. I know we didn't tell you right away that happened. I might have told you many months later that happened.
I think you told me.
I believe I told you.
And Chrissy never did.
Yeah, Chrissy was like, "I'm not telling Steve we got overpaid." And I probably waited a year to tell you.
Yeah, it was a little bit later.
It does happen every now and then in comedy that you get overpaid. And no
one. Because the owner was drunk.
I know,
his ass.
But it's, I mean, I think a lot of guys that's happened to, and you get some extra money, and you go, well, thank you very much.
Well, the reason we didn't tell Steve was if he got pissed, and you know, went after Steve, we would just deny it, and then it's
right.
Drunk.
I did another show, I think it was for Steve, that was so bad that the guy, like the owner, came and was like, "Look, I'm sorry," and they gave us like extra money. I'm trying to. It was attached. It was attached to a big boy.
Oh yeah, Whitmore Lake.
Yeah.
Whitmore Lake.
Yeah. Joel
I'm banned from Whitmore Lake.
Yeah, you're the only person asked.
I didn't
not
even
to
get
come
banned.
Back.
But
I wear that as a badge.
He told me the guy goes, "Don't guy, not funny. Don't send back ever, never. That guy not funny at all." He almost got into a fight. Some guy wanted to fight him. But that's the thing I want to say. There are some booking agencies out there, right? Yeah. And this is the thing I want to clarify that there's certain ones that have a monopoly of certain areas.
Sure.
And there's other agents that are just shitbags, mm-hmm. you know, that will go into a town and they'll double dip. They'll charge money from the comics and they'll charge money from the club and they'll put together shitty shows and people that aren't good, and they'll ruin comedy mm-hmm. for that area. I try to make decent shows in decent places.
You
that
work
can
hard.
Sustain
so
it.
You
I do.
Hustle.
I try to do a good thing for comedy, and sometimes it works out. And sometimes
I've
it
seen
doesn't.
You yelling at your girlfriend over screwing up flyers. and that's your dedication.
Speaking of flyers, and this was the one. Oh, God damn it. I can't remember what the last one was. I did a gig for you just a couple weeks ago, which was a fantastic gig, by the way. I want to thank you. Michigan City, me and Sal went out there.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
and,
yeah.
And we
yeah.
sold the place out, and it was fantastic.
That was just this past weekend, yeah.
Yeah, I'm headlining next one, by the way. I just want to tell you right here on there. I'm not going back there as a future. Fuck that. That was too good. Me and Sal D'Amelio were out there. Anyway, Steve likes to bust my chops when he puts out a flyer, puts my 8x10 up there, and then always write something that is somewhat complimentary and then completely insulting at the same time. There was this flyer, and I kept it with me, and I would even talk about it on stage if Steve was in the room. He put out me and my headshot, and he said this. He said, "Joel Fregomeni is one of the finest comedy writers in the country."
Right.
And that's a nice compliment. And then he goes on to say, "He may look like the child molester in the white van outside your kid's school, but trust me, he's not. Come out for some belly laughs."
And that's a ringing endorsement.
And that was the endorsement that I look like a child molester, but I'm really funny.
But see, I do that to people. See, that's just it. Yeah. That's me busting your chops.
Exactly.
And you don't get mad about that.
No.
And that goes back to the Mark thing, is that, you know, I do that just to fuck with you, and I do it to other people.
But
you know?
It also is a little, because this flyer's been up for 4 weeks
exactly.
in this bar in a town that I'm not in until the night of. "Hey, Merle, that child molester comic's here." Be like, "Yeah, that's me. The Dago that likes to touch boys is here to be funny." What I hear, and I'm like,
I do mix it up though. I try to change it around.
He a boy touching guinea. Look at him, fat little guinea boy.
So Steve busts my chops, but some people sometimes don't get the joke, and I just show
exactly.
up, and I'm like, they're like, "Oh, we heard about you on the flyer," and I'm like, "What are you talking about?" And Steve writes, and I forget what the last one was, but you said something like, "This isn't his glamour shot" or something. Like,
I do that all the time to people. I do it to you a lot only because you brought it to my attention.
Yeah,
and
now it's a running joke.
Now it's a running joke. Exactly. But other people, I do it to some people I like and some people I don't like. If I don't like them, I'm just I'm kind of like really a dick to them. And then to see if they even read the flyer, if anybody's paying attention.
Well, I'll be doing the write-up on CoreyandJoelRadio.com. So, yeah, I'll get my revenge right there, the show 55 entry.
My, oh, my.
But Steve's a great comic. He's all over the country.
Yeah.
Don't you go up to Canada? Don't you do, like, BC and shit like that?
Yeah, I do.
We got a guy in Yellowknife. You ever been up there? We got a fan up there. No.
I haven't done Yellowknife.
I don't think anything that isn't a caribou has been up to Yellowknife.
I just played Spanish Ontario for New Year's.
Spanish Ontario?
Yeah.
What the hell is that?
That's like 2 hours.
Is it in a town? Spanish?
Yeah. It's 2 hours west of, 2 hours east of Sault Ste. Marie.
2 hours east of Sault
Ste. Marie. There's a town in Newfoundland I think you'd like to play.
I'm one of those guys. Have jokes will travel. You know,
there's a town in Newfoundland called Dildo.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How funny. Why would they name her?
I don't know. But I think Steve Sabo live from Dildo is a great comedy album in the making. Huh?
That's awesome. That is
live
awesome.
Live in Dildo.
That's funny. No, I do. I'm one of those guys that goes everywhere. And that's I'm one of the few left that do that, you know?
Yeah.
People don't seem to travel as much anymore as they used to.
You know why? Because
gas is $3 a gallon and you can't go anywhere.
Hey, while we're here, but you got to raise the money. Can you give features an extra 25? Is that going to happen? What's the problem?
Because
I'll be honest with you. I'm not taking the work that's farther away now because it's
no, I know. I know. And it comes down to is the general rule, when I first get a gig, what I try to do is I'll go in at a lower price so they take the chance in comedy.
Sure.
And if I renew their contract after 3-6 shows, whatever like that, I try to raise the money on them.
Yeah.
You know, just because I'll tell them at the beginning, I'll give you a few shows at a lower price just to see, you know, what's going on. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times they get squirmish on that and it causes problems.
So if you say I want an extra 25, they're going to cancel the account. Is that
I don't know. I mean, I work on it. I try all sometimes. Right. And sometimes I can and sometimes I can't.
It's not just Steve, though, because every booker out there.
It's not just Steve, although I will say another booker who I will not mention their name has raised the money.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Steve really does work hard for his comics, and this is not just kissing us because we want to get more gigs out of you. But
yeah, but see,
you'll see ridiculous stuff. I remember one time you and I were looking, Steve and I were talking about it, and we both got the same email one day that was like Arizona for $100.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Guys like, just have a list, and they
right. And you're like, you know, Steve lived in Bowling Green, and I was, you know, it was like, how? Yeah, let me go from Ohio to Arizona for $100.
Yeah, that I can't do.
And yeah,
but see, the thing is, but I want to emphasize this though. That you talk about these other bookers, if they wanted to, they could take the money out of their booking fee.
Right.
These other agents, a lot of them charge more money than I do the book shows.
Okay.
Like some shows, like Bay City, for example. When I book Bay City, I book it for $50.
Okay.
And I make flyers, posters, you know, send them all this kind of tickets and shit like this that I send out to them. So my expenses is about $30-some for a show. So I'm making $20
The thing with comedy, though, is if they charge a cover at the door, the bar's still making money off drinks.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Right.
That should all go.
Isn't that the theory of anyone who wants to book a room? Shouldn't the cover cover the talent? Isn't that the way? Isn't that sort of the theory?
Here's the thing.
Speaking?
Is that's what they want.
Yeah,
you know?
That should be in an optimal situation.
That's in an optimal situation. But really, you can make money on a comedy night, you know, just by making a little bit at the door.
All right.
You know? Or, I mean, I think you should have something at the door so people are into it. But, like, if you hire a band, you're not usually going to charge
a cover.
That's
exactly the case, though. You know, charging a cover, you think it might discourage people. But in some of these places where there isn't a lot of entertainment.
Right.
Even if you charge a $2 cover.
Yeah. People will pay attention.
It makes people, they're more into the show.
They're invested for, even for $2, they're invested in the show.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And they'll enjoy it more. If you say, well, we'll just make it free, we'll make the money on drinks, you're going to get a lot of people who only want to sit there because it's free.
And you're going to be pushing these drinks and getting people belligerently drunk because you're trying to make your money back, and that's not good for the show either.
Just a couple bucks. Try to cover your ass.
Yeah, but
just cover your ass.
I mean, if you
cover.
Can get $300 in cover at the door,
you've paid for the
then
show.
You're golden. Absolutely. You're golden.
You know, and then, but you get these guys that come in, they just want to talk through your whole show and yell at you. And,
And 300 is 60 people paying $5 each. That's not
exactly.
much.
And
if they pay 10, you only need 30.
Exactly.
And if you can draw 30 people into your place.
And if you can't, then you have no business being open.
Exactly. I think I'm gonna take this. Joel, you can use this for heckle busting from now on.
What do you got?
We're gonna
this is
this
Rob,
clip.
The announcer for the Corey and Joel radio show. Now shut the fuck up.
Thank you very much. Do you want to play that on your CD?
There you go. That could be for all heckles.
Nice.
You know, Steve has a little intro he recorded that he plays a lot of his gigs.
That's something else other clubs don't do.
Yeah,
you
that's
know?
True.
Yeah.
But I try to go the extra mile to make things as good as possible for
being
people.
The dicks Joel and I are, we always make fun of that intro.
Well, it's
and as you know, for most of the gigs, I try to get you guys a couple drinks, you know, and I try to get you guys a meal if I can.
In the hotel room.
You know,
and
these are all extra things that other
It's you and Bill Gates and philanthropy. Number one and two. One and two.
No, no, but it's the point of it is.
I hear you.
There's so many things that, you know, other bookers may not do. Most bookers are never at their rooms, you know? Right. And so they don't even know.
And as a comic, you're going through and you're playing them.
Yeah.
A lot of times, first time out.
I hope if you're not in the business, and most of you aren't, that you're interested in this simply because you want to know about the profession. And you want to know why you should never get into comedy.
Sit there and listen to your iPod in your office like you're doing right
Let
now.
Let us entertain you. Don't go out there and try and tell jokes and think
it's
you're a witty,
witty joke
man. It's
a horrible way to make
a
living.
The only upside is the occasional toothy BJ from the comedy club waitress.
You might eat a girl out in Wichita. You might get you might fuck a girl in the ass in the mirror in Duluth.
You know, the other thing I want to emphasize about that, too, is I do have a lot of these
did
stories.
Did you spit
and stuff.
On it first? I mean, Jesus.
No, just rammed right. Just rammed ahead.
Just really?
Yeah.
Just,
well, it was lubricated from, I was in the...
So there was some residue.
I was already in the. But here's the thing:
you didn't dry slot the bitch.
These are long. I mean, I've been doing comedy for 15 years.
Yeah,
you know. I mean, these are stories that span 15 years. It's not like every weekend I'm out. You know, banging some creepy chick.
Sure, you gotta poke 45-50 cows before you hit it. Before you hit a hot piece of ass. I understand. And then that's the one you report to.
It's a shotgun approach of whores. Is that
what
it is?
Yeah, buckshot.
No, it's, you know, what happens, you do come, you guys know this. You guys got to know this. There's an adrenaline that goes after shows, you know, and there's an energy that's out there. And sometimes girls will come up to you, and they're not always the best girls in the world. But you're not going to be back there for 6 months to a year, so...
So you're a rock star for about 5 minutes after your set, and that's about it.
Yeah.
You may never be in that little town again.
That's right. That's right.
Well, Steve, you've taught us a lot today. We've learned. We've grown.
Oh, no.
I feel special inside. I feel a little bit...
We are going to wrap this up with Steve Szabo. Let's plug once again everything you're up to, stevesabo.com.
Yep.
And where do we send $2 to?
What's that? Yeah, we have stevesabo.com. We've send $2 to iwantmy2dollars.net. Okay. I have my advice column, which is sibling-rivalry.com. And, of course, if you guys want to book comedy entertainment for anywhere across the country, even if it's, you know, for, you know, a prom or a bachelor party or anything like that, whatever it is, that's InsideJokeProductions.com.
And go to Steve's site because chances are he will be in a town near you soon.
Yeah, and he's all over, no matter where you live.
Steve would you like to do a German show? We have a super fan in Germany.
Absolutely. Absolutely, I would.
Yellowknife,
the whole tour.
Perth.
Just me, you, Steve.
Yeah.
Sal D'Amelio, Bill Bouchard.
Yeah.
I'll do it for my airfare. Just
we'll bring
airfare
Nadia.
And I'll do it.
The European Invasion Tour. We'll go and we'll take back that lousy.
That'd be awesome.
Oh, man. And just a couple things about us. Don't forget to sign up for the mailing list. We are actually going to do Jerk Off Home Companion.
Awesome.
Am I right about that?
Yeah.
We're going to watch some porn. You'll get Steve's running commentary on that. And you can only get that by signing up for the mailing list on the right side of the page at CoreyandJoelRadio.com. So we'll do that. And Corey, you're going to play us out with White Ghost Shivers.
Wee-haw!
We're going to get out of here, folks. Yeah. Thanks for listening. Don't forget Chicken Ranch Records. If you want the White Ghost Shivers or the Clutters or anyone else who's played on the show the last few weeks, go to check out chickenranchrecords.com. And we're going to get out of here. Thanks for listening to Show 55.
Steve Szabo, everybody.
Steve Szabo. Yeah. Good night, everybody.